Wind.
This conference will.
Today's our. Sorry, my voice is going. Today's our second session for planning for 2013. Because the way I always remember, Mary Jo dedicates December for plan. Failure to plan is a plan to fail. So I don't like that opportunity. So I go after plan. So we want to really visualize our future. We want to look at what we're going to create in 2013. Last week we talked about a number of things. We did a start planning. Part of the starting of the planning was to look at values and vision. And so that was a big piece of the homework that we sent last week. And I'd like you guys to contribute a little bit if you want to. You can get off of mute and just say, you know, last week we talked about a number of assignments, and hopefully you've all done this. If you haven't done it, just turn in that mirror and say, why is it I'm not doing the things I know that are going to support me to be the best I can be? Because there's some disconnect occurring in your life, and I want you to work through that. Really work on that, because, you know, what's important here is that you have enough self-respect that you say, you know what, I'm valuable, I'm meaningful, I have a vision for my life, I have a future for my life. I can create something great, and if I don't show up, I'm robbing everybody around me because I didn't show up. So if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it because you're robbing all of us of the greatness that's within you, because I know all of you are created with greatness inside of you. So let's start looking at that and saying, show up, okay? So part of the show up is planning, and part of the planning is really getting clarity around who you are. What are my values? What's my vision? What do I want to create in my life? So let's kick off and just review some of the assignments. One of the assignments, starting with values, I gave you that sheet about values, vision, goals, business plan, and then accountability, right? Action tracker. So last week we were talking about values and vision. We talked about values, and I told you to go on the internet and you could get a list of values, 375. There's one chart out there that's got 375 values, and that's not all of them by any means. There's zillions of them. And I wanted you to restrict yourself to just 10. Listen to, 10 that are important to you, the most important values. And some of you had a hard time doing that, I know, because I got a couple calls. But the importance is that you go through it, because it's the whole idea that you're getting clarity about what's most important to you. Because you can say, well, Mary Jo, I love it when people tell me, well, God's most important to me. I said, great, God's most important to me too. But that, and they go, well, but that defines my values because it's all the values found in the Bible. And I go, oh, good, so you have no clue. You're sitting there working with 500 values at the same time. I said, it's not true. We can't have the same level of importance of every one of those values. One is going to be more important to you, and you need to search out and find out what that is, because it's going to give you clarity on you. We need clarity about ourselves. When I did this exercise, I came up with, I mean, it was hard as the dickens to come up with 10. I didn't want to isolate the 10 because there were 20 or 30 that were really critical to me. And some of us we're all different. And one of the reasons why some of the values I choose aren't going to be the same ones you choose is because in your life, it might be something that's such a given that it's not highlighted. Or in your life, it might be something that it's just not as important as it is to me. And that's okay. It doesn't make somebody right or wrong. It just makes us different. And thank you, Lord, for making us all so different. I just appreciate that we're all so different. So come up with those 10 values, and then from the 10 values, we want to be able to list the 10 values in order of which one's most important. And if you have a problem with this, start doing a stream of consciousness on how I want my life to be. That'll sometimes help people start unveiling what's most important to them. How many of you did this experience? Anyone want to share? Do I have anyone from who wants to come off mute, *7, and just say a little bit of experience around a value exercise? Okay, no shares on that. That's okay. Yep, I just pray that you guys are doing it. I know some people just don't, you know, it's very personal, and you don't have to want it. You don't have to jump into this and get into it with me, but it's very personal. Yep, go ahead. We have someone who wants to share. Value exercise.
Yep. I have done, this is Ann, and I've done value exercises that, you know, we've done the same thing. And I tell you that the thing that is most impactful even now, and I do the old one, the one that we did with Clemmer, is the values that you reject. Or, you know, when you rejected values and you realize that you can't live without them.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand.
So when you choose your 10 and there's certain ones you put aside, and then when you start evaluating a 10 or getting into a stream of consciousness or the dropping exercise, which you're talking about, what happens is you go back and you go, how did I ever dismiss that one? That one's more, and you have to go back and grab it again, right?
Yep. I think that's when I got very emotional and emotionally tied into what I was doing with the value exercise.
Great. Great. Thank you for your share. Absolutely. Yeah. Very powerful. Very powerful. Yeah. And again, this is what is this all focused on, people? It's focused on getting clarity in your life. Who am I anyway, right? Answer that question. Who am I anyway? Who am I anyway? I like that. I like that. I just did an exercise with Leo Widener in the Slight Edge group, and some of you are in my Slight Edge program, and the life creed that we're drafting has asked that question. It doesn't ask it quite like that, but it's, you know, who am I? I added the anyway at the end of it, right? At 58, I'm asking, who am I anyway? But that's okay, because at 65, you can ask it. At 82, you can ask it, who am I anyway? We have so much time left on this earth that, you know, to do what we want to do, depending on how much time God gives us. But it's, you know, it's always, for me, a lot of freedom to think forward of all the things I have yet to do. And it's just cool. It's just great to feel that way. Okay, from the value list, now you have a value, core values. Now you draft kind of like a to-be list. I asked everybody to look at leadership characteristics you want for yourself. In other words, what were the leadership characteristics? I gave you all a list of those. I attached it. And if there were certain things on there that kind of stuck out that said, wow, I really need to work on this or I need to work on that, you know, because there are a lot of different ones. And, of course, the leadership characteristics I put on the list attached last week aren't just a complete list. It's very incomplete. But it just got you a level of things that I took it off of a book. Probably it was a John Maxwell book or something on leadership. So it's somebody that I highly respected, and he had a list of characteristics of a good leader. And so there might be something on there that really hit you. Did anyone come up with a characteristic of a good leader that they said, they highlighted, and they said, Mary Jo, that's the one I want to work on this year? Anyone share about characteristics of a good leader? It's a great exercise to do, people, so don't forget to do it. I know some of you probably would grab onto courageous because you feel sometimes you're just not courageous. You don't feel like you're bold enough in situations where you really stand up and stand up for what you really care about or what you really want to do, and or you're indecisive maybe. Decisiveness is another great one. There's just so many, but just reading those characteristics, people, go back and read through them. They're wonderful. They just will really, I mean, they'll fill you up with goodness just reading through them because they're so great. So don't forget to do that, and then make a plan on how you plan on acquiring them. I mean, am I going to read some books? Am I going to, if anyone, any of you guys on this Monday call, if you have some issues around, okay, Mary Jo, I picked a couple, but I don't know how to achieve them. Can you give me some help? I will be more than happy. Send me an email, get in touch with me, and I'll work with you. And if I have my fifth bookshelf going in right now for the books that I've gotten since I started in Manatech, and they're not network marketing books. For the most part, they're just self-development type things, and maybe there's something in there that will tie out, that'll trigger in me. I have great books on fear and things like courage and things that I can help you with, maybe help you plan on how to build that in you and give you some ideas, some step processes, because I do a lot of this type of work in my foundation as well. Okay, so that's two. So that's our to-be list. What characteristics of great leadership do we want to work on this year? What are we going to work on, or at least start with, kick off the year with? And then vision, your why. What is your why, all right? And we talked about why being your vision for your life. I also talk about it from a white-hot imperative. That's a language that's used in Leo Widener's book, The Slight Edge. But it's your why. You must know your why. Why you do what you do, which requires you to understand the purpose and value of all that you do. So I put some definitionals in here, the clarity definition, because that's what's so important here. It's, again, it goes back to Tony Jerry over and over and over again. You know, that importance of that strategic acceleration book in our lives, and one of the most critical points in that book was the whole concept of clarity. You must have clarity. It's an unfettered view of your vision, which is what you want and why you want it, fed by an understanding of its purpose and value, right? And that's why. You want to have your why. So, and the idea, if you don't articulate your why or your vision, it always seems to be that you're pushing a person towards their goal instead of rather having the goal pull people towards them. You'd rather be the pulling type than the pushing type. If you feel like you're pushing some of your people in your organization, then you need to work with them on their vision and setting their goals so that something's pulling them forward instead of you constantly hounding on them, pushing on them. It's a great aha moment for a lot of us in network marketing because we sometimes feel like we're pushing people forward when it never should be that way. Go back and start from scratch and go, okay, what is your why? And then from the why, what are the goals you set? And that should be pulling a person forward, right? Yep. Okay, and then the other thing is your reality. To do a reality analysis, what do you have it clearly written? What is my reality today? How much money am I making? How much debt am I in? What does my life look like? What would I weigh? All that. Get the real clarity about where it is. Because and then do the 2012-2013 analysis that I talked about. I gave you a sheet attached last week. And I also gave you a sheet that we really didn't talk about, but it's there for you to work on, which is 7 steps that can change your life. Did anyone do the 7 steps that can change your life? Anyone do that piece on the call today that might want to talk about it? Otherwise, we'll jump into next step. Okay, so we're going to talk about, if you want to jump in, you can anytime interrupt, that's fine. Okay, so let's talk about, let's go to the next step. We're going to talk about practical effect of clarity. Again, clarity and performance. I put some more information from Tony Geary in there and the importance of that clarity. And I liked his last comment, the concept that true clarity contributes to all of these qualities, all the qualities listed, and with them comes power, the power to produce results. Without clarity, you have no power. So our next step is, after we do that legwork that we did from last week, and if you haven't done it, dedicate today to get it done. Of course, you got the 11th coming up, so you want to make sure you got your XFM all structured. But what you want to do is your next step after you finish that foundational work, and don't jump into setting goals until you do the foundational work, because it'll be like building a house on sand. You want to build the foundation, and the foundation was last week. That's the foundation, our values, who we are as people, what's important to us, what's our why, what's our vision. Because if you don't have that as your core and that's not your foundation, your goals will be on sinking sand and you will not meet those goals. And maybe that's a reason why a lot of the goals you've set in the past you never met, because you never did the foundational steps. And you've got to be clear. Clarity is so important. And if you get confused and you're not in clarity, then start journaling. Do some journaling on a daily basis. Spend a half an hour a day journaling about it until you reach that clarity point. Get a mentor. Find somebody you can mentor with who can help you with some of your clarity. If you're stuck in confusion, you're never going to meet your goals, ever, because you're stuck in confusion. And here, let me tell you another thing about confusion. If you're stuck in confusion, you're stuck in what we call resistance. There's something inside of you about resistance. You're either you might be resisting the whole concept of setting goals, so you're going to stay in confusion because that helps you stay in confusion. But you're never going to create anything in life because you're resisting something. Confusion is an exact repercussion of resistance. So there's something you're resisting in life. Okay, next, setting our goals. What do we need to do and set goals? Well, we know we have to set goals, right? I mean, I shouldn't say have to. We choose to set goals. Why do we choose to set goals? Because they're the most important thing you can do is set written goals if you want to create something different in your life. And you want 2013 to be a phenomenal year of change, then set goals to make it that way. And here's 10 reasons to set goals. These are things I give people. To keep from procrastinating. Number 2, to improve your mental attitude. Number 3, to achieve financial independence. Number 4, to focus your efforts and be more effective. Number 5, to bring new and positive people into your life. Remember, the law of attraction, if I'm setting my goals and I'm building this up, is this where I'm going? Guess what's going to happen? I'm going to attract people in my life that are going to take me there because that's part of the law of attraction, right? Okay, so 6, number 2, strengthen your personal relationships. Number 7, to get you organized. Goals will help you stay organized. Number 8, to raise your standard of living. Number 9, to push you past mediocrity. And number 10, to improve your family life. If those things are important to you, people, then set your goals. All goals need to be SMART. They need to be specific, measurable, achievable, risky, timely. Right? You got to make sure they're specific. So that if you say to me, here, one of my favorites always is this one, I want to improve my relationship with my spouse. I want to have a better relationship with my spouse. Is that a goal? Well, it doesn't qualify under my goal concept, but it could be, it's probably a goal somebody could set. My problem with that is it's not specific, nor is it measurable. How do I measure if you have a better relationship with your spouse? So the question, when somebody gives you a goal like that, and you know it didn't qualify in any of our SMART categories, you want to start asking questions. The number one question you ask people when something's like, you know, vague and not measurable is you go like this. You say, what would it take to have a better relationship with your spouse? Ask them a question. What would it look like? What would it take? What do you think is missing in your life? What do you think you need to do? And number one answer is usually spend more time with them. I need to spend more time with my spouse, and that would be give a chance of having a better relationship. At least a chance, right? Okay, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I tell you, at 99.9% of the time, it will happen. So if you spend more time with your spouse, so what does that look like? What are you willing to commit to? And they go, well, if we had date night once a week. I go, great. So write down here, here's a goal. Starting January 1, I have a date night with my spouse every week for at least 3 hours of time. We're just one-on-one. Woo! Way to go, girl. Now you got something that's specific, measurable, achievable, risky, probably for some of us very risky, and timely. You have a time when it's going to start. I'm starting January 1, right? So that would be a SMART goal. You want to make sure you run this standard by each and every of your goals to get clarity that they fit in all these categories. It's just like you want to make more money in 2012. You go, in 2013, I want to make more money than I made in 2012. What's the problem with that one? Is it measurable? Yeah, more money. All I'd have to do is look at what my 1099 from Manatech showed me from last year and compare it to 2013. But it's not very specific. More doesn't get very, how much more, right? It's measurable, we said that. Is it achievable? Of course. Is it risky? Probably not, because you could make a dollar more and you'd meet the goal if that's all you're after. And it is timely. So what you want to do is you want to make it specific and risky, or it's missing in that goal, right? So I want to be more specific. How much more? And that's going to push that risk button for me, right? So again, follow your SMART strategy and ask yourself, every goal you set, look back at the SMART rule and see if it qualifies. 6 categories. You want to deal with all the financial goals in Manatech, but you have 6 categories. Why is it that I want you to do all 6 categories? You can say, Mary Jo, what do you care about my family life? Trust me, baby, I care more about your family life than I care about your Manatech business. And I hope you do too. Because the focus in this world isn't about Manatech. The focus in this world is about the core person you are. And that core person of who you are has to do with what your spiritual walk is, your emotional status, your family life, all of those things are important. And they lay the foundation upon which the Manatech goals get wrapped around. So it's just like I think I told you last week. I said put out both hands, one's a fist, one's an open palm. And it's your choice which one is business versus which one is family, emotional, spiritual. I'm going to tell you that you want to be successful in business, you better make sure the fist is the rock in your life, which is your family life, your spiritual walk, your emotional state. And then you wrap that Manatech business around it. And that's the way you're going to be most successful in Manatech. So you need to have goals. You need to be a balanced human being. So you want spiritual goals, family goals, career goals, everyone. I gave you six or seven different categories. You fill them out. I tell people to do 3 in each one of them to become a balanced person, right? And write each of them down. Why do we have written goals? Because it's the only way they work and because it's number one. In every single book ever written about success, you're going to find written goals as the issue. And you guys probably all remember the old statement about the Harvard School, you know, the people setting goals, the 3% that set goals, written goals, were 10 or 20 years later were making more than the other 97% of all the graduates together. And they're the only ones that had written goals, right? All right. Then you review your goals. Now, here's some ideas on the goals. Make sure they are all personal. People write goals and they say, making X number of dollars. What do you mean making? See, if people take I out of their goals, there's something that's remiss going on. In other words, they have a problem with commitment. They don't want to be part of it. They're exiting the whole goal action. And you've got to say, what is that? Why am I doing that? Because the goals didn't work for you before? Well, so what? Does that mean I quit doing things? gee, I worked out and I didn't lose enough weight, so I'm not working out ever again. Oh, really? Because you think working out doesn't work for you in some way, shape, or form? I mean, maybe you have more muscle tissue, that's why you didn't lose weight. You're definitely better off working out than not from a health perspective. So you have all these issues going. So why is it you're removing I? So you got to make sure your goals start with I. Be in them. Don't exit your own goals. Make sure they're all in present tense. So the word will, which is future tense, is never used in your goals. I make $4,000 per month in Manitech by September 2013. Notice, there's no will there. The date is what puts it out there, by that date. You want to use live action verbs or feeling verbs. You want to be brief, so don't write a whole, you know, a 12-sentence goal. And be positive, not negative. In other words, I don't lose 20 pounds. I weigh 140 pounds. The other reason they tell you to do that with weight loss is because there's a concept in our life, in our brain, it's a mental model that we have, that when we lose something, what's our first response? We want to go out and find it. I don't think you want to find the 20 pounds you want to lose, right? You don't want to lose those forever. So instead of losing it, you say, I weigh. What's the weight I'm trying to achieve? And put that in. And then, of course, make sure they all qualify as SMART, the S-M-A-R-T that we did above. Want to make sure they all qualify as specific, measurable, achievable, risky, and timely. The next step is to share your goals with a support team. You want to write down your goals on 3x5 cards to carry them with you every day. Just like when we talked about, for those of you in the Slight Edge program, we talked about the bites. It's about mental models. It's about getting it focused. Your focus has to stay on the goal. Keep the goal as your focus. If you focus on the goal, what will happen? The universe around you will bring you forward. I read a good piece this weekend about the law of attraction, and it was really funny. This guy was writing about it, and he goes, you know, I really love the law of attraction, but it's all wrong. And I was like, what? And he said, the concept isn't wrong. It's just a problem that people want to put down on a piece of paper and say, they want to do a mantra, you know, and like our goal. Okay, my goal is to be presidential director at the end of 2013. And then we hum to it, okay? And I'm not, by no means am I making fun of mantras, because I have a lot of friends that are Buddhist, and I really value the concept of having a mantra, right? So anyway, but if I put in my head, I am going to be presidential director, what is required? This guy was saying they're ineffective. The law of attraction just doesn't work by itself. It requires action. Just like faith without action is dead, well, there's a lot of truth to that. We can't just set a goal. We got to take action. And you know, next week is going to be our week. We're going to focus on taking action. What does that action look like? How do we be accountable? So that's our next step in this process for this December. But what's critical here is that we understand that we need to lay the foundation of having the goals and having clarity about what we're committed to achieving, so that we can have the focus right and we can start that energy in that direction. Then as we take action, the universe surrounds us. It draws in all of these things to us. So we want to have focus on them. We want to have them relevant. We want to have them ready and raring for us. We want to have them in front of us on a daily basis. We don't want to tuck them away in some binder somewhere. These are for you. This is your next 12 months that you're grappling with. We read them every day. That's a choice you can make. I probably don't read my goals every day. I probably do a once-a-week check back. Or I have them down so packed because I carry them with me that they become part of what's in my head every day. Even I don't need to read them because I know what they are. And then have an accountability partner to support you through the year. Nothing better than to have an accountability partner, I'm going to tell you. That's the support team. So if you can find somebody to be an accountability partner, it could be a spouse, although they tend to cut you a lot of slack, which isn't good because you don't want people cutting you too much slack or you slack off. You can go out there and find, you know, somebody in your organization, somebody upline, downline, whatever, somebody that has a meaningful relationship that you know will be tough on you, not so tough that they beat you up, but tough that they're going to hold your foot to the fire. And that means somebody who enjoys accountability themselves. Because if you go out and you find somebody who's lackluster and undisciplined, that's not going to help you with this concept. So make sure you find somebody that qualifies as a good accountability partner. Know the results of your goals and the consequences, right, of not meeting them. I gave you a sheet today. After you get done writing your goals, you want to put them on this page. It's like the last page of the outline. And then you're going to say, what does my life look like when I meet them? And then what are the consequences if I don't? Because you want to be clear about what you're not going to be able to create or what's not going to happen in your life if you don't achieve the results that you're trying to achieve. So really critically important. And now the last statement I put in here was make the connection between your belief system. The link between optimism, responsibility, and goal setting is crucial to stop the disconnect. We need to tap into our belief system. So we need to change that mental modeling that we have around belief. And part of that is changed by those 3x5 cards. It's also changed, again, go into the slight edge and look at the bites. Use some of those life balance tools that can help change the mental model. Because as a man thinketh, right, so is he. As whatever your belief is your number one core principle here. We need to have a belief. We have to believe we can accomplish these things. And we have to have motive. We have to know why are we accomplishing them, because this is my vision. And my vision is so, so emotional. I am so attracted to it that I don't want to live my life without it. And personally, when I'm going to share with you one, I go, it's now if you do all this, you're in the top 3%, right? Got it? Success is a progressive realization of a worthy goal. But I'll close with this, a personal thing. Over the past week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, working in my Slight Edge program, we've been doing this Life Creed experience, and it's awesome. It's just a life balance tool, but it's tough. There's tons of questions, like 4 pages of questions I have to answer, and it's not like questions. It's not like you can do this in one day. I mean, I've been working on it for 3 weeks, right, answering these questions, going back and rehashing them. But the coolest thing is that one where, like, What is the one thing that you really wanted to accomplish you haven't accomplished yet? What is the one? And I kept thinking, wow, Mary Jo, what, you know, you, and I just started just like a stream of consciousness. And let me tell you, people, it was so powerful when I got out of my own way and let my mind just drift. And it was about writing a book. It was about providing self-development courses in changing educational curriculum around self-development, like victim responsible, getting some of that in grade schools and stuff. It was, I mean, I probably have 5 things that are so powerful to me, so important to me. I don't know how they're going to get done, but you know what? I know one thing for sure. I want them. I want them to happen. So it was an excellent exercise for me to do, because it really helped put in focus, I have so much more to accomplish. And so it drives the desire in my heart, because that's out there now. It was just so cool. So I want you guys to go through that experience as well. And maybe I'll give you some of those questions, the last questions. If for those of you who don't have the book, it was the last section of those questions. And maybe I'll send some of those out to the rest of you on this Monday call so you can dig through them as well. But I'll tell you, huge on Mary Jo. And I just wanted to share that, because each one of us, no matter what we've accomplished and what we've done, there's always something more out there that we've dreamt about, that we've wanted to have happen, that we want to be a part of, to help make this a better place, to help make our lives better, to help make people's lives around us better. All of that exists in each one of us, and we just need to get a focus on that. Okay, people, that's it for today. Are you guys ready to do goal setting? Amen to that. And I will send that out. I'll get Lydia to type that up and send that out as well. We'll try to get that done today so you can have that list of questions that was so powerful for me. It might work for you, might not. Everybody, all of us, we're all created differently. And I appreciate all of you, every one of your actions that you're taking upon yourself to do. I appreciate all the work you're doing in December. Here I am spending this time focusing on 2013 when we have the Founders Challenge, and we have got December 11th tomorrow, and we have all these great stuff to produce in December. We don't want to lose sight of what we're doing today. But know that you know this. Everything that you create in December is going to help build that momentum to pour into 2013. So it all is helpful in creating the best best year yet of 2013. Okay, everyone, love you all. Any last-minute questions before we go? Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for being part of this great mission we're all in together. I love you all, and have a great week, and we'll talk again next Monday.